Hello and welcome. This is the first of a series of audio clips that I would like to record and to share with you. And it was a great time as we closed out our last session of the Marriage Between Friends workshop this past Monday. I never would have guessed just how much conducting these workshops have actually helped and been a blessing to my own marriage, because me and Pam go through them with the couples. And as always, at the end of every cohort, there are a few thoughts that come to mind, and I hope these will encourage us all. And this last time, I would really say it's a review of the things that I've shared before of how we speak to one another. So in essence, it's watch your mouth. So nothing new, but it's that idea that, well, this is what I mean. In our family of churches, we are known for our level of commitment to God and to our standard of personal righteousness, especially when it comes to cursing. But what slips under the radar, even though, you know, we avoid the traditional four-letter expletives that pepper most conversations today, but what slips under the radar is, and what we sometimes miss, is that biblical calling that's far higher than just not cursing. Christ calls disciples to let no unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful, in Ephesians 4:29. And that word translated, quote, unwholesome, literally means putrid, as in rotting flesh or vegetables that are clearly unfit for human consumption by sight and by smell. Now, of course, this would include not saying the usual excuse my French type words, but must be replaced by saying only what is good for building someone in need, building them up. So what is putrid language? Jesus defined putrid language as the name calling we do to others that express contempt and settled anger. In other words, saying anything that comes from this heart, whatever it may be. This is one of the reasons, now you see later in Ephesians 4:26, Paul stated, in your anger, do not sin. Paul was not saying that anger as the emotional response was sin, but as it is expressed when it takes a permanent residence in our hearts. You see Paul spelling this out clearly when he challenges the Christians in Ephesians 4:31 to, quote, get rid of what are these things that I nicknamed the brass. I love acronyms because it's my DOE and my psychology training. But so unwholesome talk. There's a quick study on avoiding the brass. This is from a quick study done from interlinear sections of the Bible where you just can look up the words. And so a brief word study. So what was Paul saying get rid of? The kind of speech that we can't have, the kind of interactions with each other that we can't have. It was things like this. He said get rid of the B in brass, bitterness. And that word is simply pikria or pikria, and it means bitterness, harshness, that embittered, resentful spirit, where there's been so much hurt or perceived hurt that you have a resentment against your spouse. And this resentment comes out in the kinds of words that you use and phrases that you use. Paul says, get rid of this. Now, of course, he meant this for any relationship. And you'll see this, of course, would apply to the one who we are to be the closest to. The second one, outside of bitterness, is rage. And that word is thymos, which means simply rush along, getting heated up, breathing violently. And it's passion-driven behavior, actions emerging out of strong impulses or intense emotion. That's the classic when you lose your temper and you say and do stuff in rage that you probably will regret when you do your personal venting of anger. But this is, it's that intense anger that you say stuff that in the moment you flipped your lid and you just say things that have not and should not have been said. And this is what's really sin. This is what really can do the anger. Unlike God's righteous wrath and righteous rage, ours is emotional and it's impulsive. And we're to get rid of it. We're also to get rid of anger. Now you may say, well, oh, you just said anger wasn't bad. Well, the word anger here is always sin, and it's not just the emotion. It's the word is orge, a great word. That means to teem, swelling up, to constitutionally oppose. In other words, it's settled anger rising from an ongoing and a fixed opposition. It's like Democrat, Republican. It's like this anger against somebody that's done. It's a done deal, like Jew and a Samaritan. But we can do that even with our spouses, people that we love. We've decided to just be bitter and just steadfastly oppose them. Maybe because we believe they are hurtful. Maybe because we believe they deserve it. But bottom line is, it's that point that you consider somebody, the other person is just evil, just wrong, and it's a settled anger that is not going to be easily swayed, even if the person does good. Paul says, get rid of that kind of settled, fixed, unforgiving anger. Number four is interesting because it's translated in some translations. It's translated as brawling, and I always pictured, you know, two men in a drunken rage with each other. But actually, the word actually means to cry out. It's this word, a krauge, if I'm saying it right, or krazo, and it means to cry out. It's that kind of loud crying done with emotion, usually like by shrieking. Like a wounded person emitting unearthly types of sounds. It's when you're in that point of distress where you shout, you scream, you cry out like the man among the tombs that Jesus had to cast the demon out. And sometimes in our anger, we can shout, yell, scream. It hits parts of us that make us literally cry out because we've been wounded in hurtful ways against our spouse. And finally, slander. The word slander literally means, it's the word blasphemia, which we get the word blasphemy. And blasphemia literally means blacks, sluggish, slow, and feme, reputation. In other words, it's literally slow, sluggish to call something good that really is good, and slow to identify what is truly bad that really is evil. Blasphemy switches right for wrong, wrong for right, calls what God disproves right, which exchanges the truth of God for a lie, as in Romans 1:25. So what does that mean? Slander simply means this. We can label, pigeonhole, and use words that literally smear our spouse because we're hurt and we're angry. In other words, we ruin their reputation to themselves, to us, and to those we speak to about them. One time, a great example I've heard is, if you have a major problem with me, or with my wife, rather, you're going to have a problem with me. You can't be okay with me and hate my wife. In the same way that if we are God's children, you can't blasphemy, slander, label your spouse and think that your relationship with God is great. Well, I don't slander them. They deserve it. It feels like that. But the bottom line is, when we look at our spouses, or when we look at what Paul's saying, anybody, we've got to make sure that we don't call something evil that's not really evil, that we don't label them, we don't slander them, we don't ruin the good that they do have in reputation because we're hurt. And that takes wisdom. It takes love, it takes discretion, it takes watching our tongues, it takes not being slow to call what is good about them good, and being very careful that we don't slander them. So these are the expressions of anger that will destroy any relationship, and how much more what's supposed to be in the closest and most sacred relationship on earth. If we as disciples can resolve to rein in our tongues, we have the best position to glorify God in our marriage, and to have a marriage that will be rich, meaningful, and lasting. This is Antoine Lee, and hope you have a great end of the year.